In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Today, we're going to be doing the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the theme of all the readings today, based on the Gospel, is growth. Growth of God's kingdom. And so we'll be thinking about that and reflecting on where we are in the growth of God's kingdom. But before we start that, we're going to continue with Verbum Domini. Now, we finished most of the central teaching, but there are some very important points that we should look at quickly to round off the study of this document. Starts off, number 75, in order to achieve the goal set by the Synod, namely an increased emphasis on the Bible and the Church's pastoral activity, all Christians and catechists in particular need to receive suitable training. Attention needs to be paid to the biblical apostolate. And so this notion of bringing formation to the Bible. There is a very fine book by Robert Wilkin called The Spirit of Early Christian Theology, or some title like that, in which he shows that the great fathers of the Church got all their understanding and insight from the Bible. They used philosophical categories to explain it and in dialogue with the non-Christians, but theirs came from the Bible. Sadly, much of the work today, the Biblist has just studied historically and critically with a few smatterings of theology. And theology is studied as an independent science with a few smatterings of Scripture. That's not theology and that's not biblical studies. The Bible is the source of living knowledge. And it's served by the work that we can do in philosophy. Okay. Now, then it talks. The Pope talks about large ecclesial gatherings, that there be more Scripture there, that people begin to learn once again what it means to be fed by Scripture. And then, finally, the Word of God in vocations, in strengthening faith's intrinsic summons to an ever deeper relationship with Christ, the Word of God in our midst. The Synod also emphasized that this word calls each one of us personally, that life itself is a vocation from God. In other words, the more we grow in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, the more we realize that He is calling us to holiness in and through the definitive choices by which we respond to His love in our lives. Because of that, you see, then, Pope goes on to say, that's why the Synod so accents this notion of personal reading of the Scriptures, you see. Our call to holiness, he goes on to say, is revealed in sacred Scripture. Be holy, as your Father is holy. St. Paul then points out its Christological base in Christ. The Father has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Oh, if we could recover that sense of a vocation. This is the way to bring the world back so that they see the light of Christ in us and have hope again. And then there's this word to the ordained ministers and the word about the Word of God. I'd like to speak first to the Church's ordained ministers in order to remind them of the Synod's statement that the Word of God is indispensable in forming the heart of a good shepherd and minister of the Word. The longer I live, the more I study Scripture, which has been my privilege for almost 60 years, the more I see the beauty and the power to change us and to give us understanding and how to relate to different people. Well, then he goes, you see, to those called to the episcopate, who are the first and most authoritative heralds of the word, I would repeat the words of Pope John Paul II in the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Pastores Gregis. For the nourishment and progress of his spiritual life, the bishop must always put in first place reading and meditation on the Word of God. Every bishop must commend himself and feel himself commended to the Lord and to the word of his grace. And he goes on to quote Acts. Finally then, to priests too, I would recall the words of Pope John Paul II in another post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Pastores Dabo Vobis, which was very important in the church today. The priest, first of all, is a minister of the Word of God. First job of a priest is to preach. This is said in several other Roman documents, you know. If you're not preaching, your own heart is not changing. You won't celebrate the Eucharist in a way that'll bring people to share in that act of love in which Jesus died and in which he's fixed, even when he's there under the species of bread and wine, surrounded by angels through the whole church, he himself fixed in that act of love. We've got to know that, experience that. And that is the role of Scripture, to bring us to that touch. Consequently, the priest's words, his choices, and his behavior must increasingly become a reflection, proclamation, and witness of the gospel. Only if he abides in the word will the priest become a perfect disciple of the Lord. Only then will he know the truth and be set truly free. That also is from that last part I read, is also from Pope John Paul II. In a word, the priestly vocation demands that one be consecrated in the truth. Jesus states this clearly with regard to his disciples. He prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." And then skipping some, "And since Christ himself is God's word made flesh, the truth, as he calls himself in John 14, Jesus' prayer to the Father, "Sanctify them in the truth," means in the deepest sense, make them one with me, the Christ. Bind them to me, draw them into me. For there is only one priest of the new covenant, Jesus Christ himself. Priests need to grow constantly in their awareness of this reality. So, it's a strong call. Why? Well, because you see, we have the big structures of the church, the episcopacy, the bishop's counseling board, the cardinals, the pope. All of this is like, they're the veins and arteries of the church. But circulation is through the capillaries. Everybody learns that in biology, I hope. It's these tiny little, that's the priest in his parish, loving his people, preaching the word, caring for them, reflecting the Christ's love to them. That's where without the capillaries, there's no circulation. Blood courses up and down through the veins and arteries, but it doesn't ever supply anything to the body. It's the capillaries who do that. So who's more important? That's a silly question. But without these connecting links, the priests, there is no circulation in the body. The Pope can come out with the most beautiful, stirring talk or directive, but how's it going to get to the people? In a way that wins them over, not just something else from headquarters, you know? That's the priest. And so, that's the role of the Word of God in the life of the priest. And everybody should pray for us, that we do what we're supposed to be doing. And And it's hard in a pastoral ministry, so many other details. I can tell you this, though. I'm spiritual director for a good number of priests, and I tell them all, pray to see if you can't find lay help to help you, you know, balance the books, watch the furnace, you know. But they have to be people who aren't in competition with the priest. Otherwise, it's another mess. But who see how important they are to the service of the church. I know I've said this to some priests who have been astonished. Give yourself to a life of prayer. Give yourself to a life of study of the Word, and the Lord will send the people. And they say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But some of them try it, and you know what happens? The people come to help. And they don't come to take over. And then one priest, I told him that, and he started to pray. He has a huge parish. I mean, it covers a building and a rectory and a school and all on this big multi-acre plot. It's a big performance. And he said, you know, I'm going nuts, but, you know, I said, pray. Within 2 weeks, a man came and said, Father, I'm a retired engineer. If you like, I could look after all your plant. And he said, oh, I'd like that a lot. He's been doing it for years. They're close friends. They respect and admire each other. All of that is off his mind. But a month later, a woman came and said, Father, I'm a CPA, and I'm retired now. If you like, I could balance, watch your books and do your accounting for you. What did he say again? Of course. He gave himself to prayer, and the Lord supplied the people that could help with these other tasks so he could go on. You know, as the apostles say, our ministry is prayer and the ministry of the Word. And so is the priest. That's the role of those lines that we just read in the Verbum Domini. The Word of God is the life, the backbone, the breath of a priestly ministry. And I have to admit that some of the seminary training on the liturgy, on the scriptures, was not too great. It was boring. They got too... We got to know the historical critical stuff. Of course we do. But we also have to hear it from the mouth of Augustine and Chrysostom and read people who can put us in touch with those people. And mostly we have to hear from the Lord himself. Let the Lord talk to us. And then we'll know how to act and what to say. And when we get distracted, the Lord is there to say, don't go down that path. That leads to sin. Don't go there. And we can hear him. This is so precious. Anyway, that's the message from Verbum Domini today. And we'll move on and pick some other key sections. But the bulk of the message is what we've already seen.